Good evening. Welcome to this meeting of the Planning and Licensing Committee. We have an excellent agenda before us. At 30 seconds a page, we will finish in 4.5 hours. At 10 seconds a page, we will finish in 1.5 hours. I'm told that meetings go faster if we conduct them standing up, but I will reserve that for emergencies. Chairman's notices. The meeting is sound recorded. Those attending are deemed to have consented. Fire risk. In the event of a fire, the siren will sound and the exits are suitably marked green. Health and safety. The trip hazards in this room are exceptionally interesting. And this room is monitored and recorded by CCTV. Item two, apologies. We have apologies from Councillor Channer and Councillor Pellman.
Yes, Chairman, and Councillor Helm is attending as a substitute for Councillor Mrs. Channer.
That brings us on to agenda item three. We have the minutes, which are for accuracy only. But so short, I can go through them a page at a time. Page seven, page eight. Out of interest, you'll notice that 28,000 residential properties recorded there in the district, which I shall refer to much later in the meeting. Page 9, page 10, page 11. Included in that, you will also see, is Appendix 1, which is the Malden Specialist Needs Housing Supplement Planning document, which is going to full council next.
Agreed?
Thank you. That brings us on to disclosure of interests. You have to disclose any the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests and non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda. Are there any such? Councillor Pratt.
Evening, Chairman. Yes, as an Essex County Councillor, non-pecuniary interest, because they are consulted on some matters. And anywhere it's mentioned, thank you.
Councillor Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's mentioned about almshouses in the agenda somewhere, and I'm a member of an almshouse committee. Non-pecuniary interest.
Councillor Durham.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, as a member of Essex County Council, any items on the agenda pertaining to that organisation?
Right. Thank you all very much. Sorry, Councillor Savage, I missed you.
Non-pecuniary interest, a member of two almshouse trusts.
Yeah. Councillor Boyce. Councillor.
Sorry, Bray. Chairman, you ought to add me as an almshouse trustee too.
Thank you. Right. Well, that wasn't too painful. That's a third of the items on the agenda. We're now on to agenda item six, which is the review of the street collections policy. This is not refuse collection. This is for charitable purposes, etc. Would you like to introduce them?
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for that? Right, thank you. That's agenda item six done. Though we might wish to put on page 73, you might wish to put an approval date in for that.
Yes, we will do that, Chairman.
Agenda item seven.
Page 83, Chairman.
Page 83, Licensing Act to consider the feedback from the consultation exercise, which was of interest.
Thank you, Chairman. Members have already considered the statement of licensing policy when it was approved for consultation in June 2018 by this committee. It's subsequently been subject to an eight-week consultation, which ended on the 15th of August. And the policy is largely unchanged from the version that came through in June. I think just the change of address of some interested parties who responded to that and asked for that change. And it's recommended on that basis that the policy be endorsed for adoption by full council.
That's both recommendations, one endorsed by us and that to be adopted by the council. Councillor Savage.
I've got two things about this. Firstly, on page 108, there is a table, and it doesn't line up. All right. Secondly, Chairman, as the officer has said, this was done in June, and it needs updating to the senior management restructure, as it refers quite often to the Director of Planning and Regulatory Services, which no longer exists.
Thank you, Councillor. Are you all happy that we take those forward? And that agrees both recommendations. Take that forward. Agenda item 8. This is the Gambling Act draft statement of policy on consultation, to consider the feedback of the consultation exercise that's already been held. Can we have a brief report from Mr. Dodson first?
Thank you, Chair. This was also considered by committee in June 2018 and subject to an 8-week consultation ending on the 15th of August. There were no responses, in fact, to this, and the policy is unchanged from the copy that was circulated. Given that there were no responses, you will find in Appendix 2 there's a list of those stakeholders who were identified, to be very clear that that consultation has been undertaken in line with what should have happened. But on the basis that it's the same as what that came through previously, it's recommended for endorsement by committee and adoption by council.
Councillor Savage.
As you've heard from the officer, this goes back to pre-senior management restructure and refers to Director of Planning and Regulatory Services, which does not exist.
Chairman, can I suggest that wherever we go...
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm sure that maybe the reference to these positions is something to do with when the consultation went back, but I'm sure, just to put Councillor Boyce in his comfort zone, I'm sure all of these things will be picked up as we move forward. But, Chairman, the question really was to the Director of Strategy, Policy and Governance. That's a good one for you all. I was just going to ask a general question based on this report and the one before, insofar as the fact that the last report there was only 4 people responded. This one there's none. I mean, how far does the statutory requirement go to actually carry out these consultations? Because they are time-consuming and they are expensive. And whilst we're looking at that, on page 148, Roman 3, Roman 4, finances, it says it's planned and budgetary provision in place. I mean, it doesn't say whether or not we delivered it on budget, but I'm more interested in the first question, actually.
There is a requirement for the consultation, and it's primarily the consultation of the stakeholders. So it was put on our website, but all of those key stakeholders were directly contacted too.
Okay. Councillor Boyce.
Councillor Fluker covered the issue.
Thank you. Both recommendations?
Sorry, Chairman.
Councillor Thompson.
Could I please just point out, I'm doing a Councillor Savage here, there's a wonky box on page 184 where the licence, the numbers and the colouring are a bit...
Right.
It looks like 2 boxes in one
place. Thank you. Page 184. Yeah. That will be noted. Right. If we're happy with that, the recommendations are agreed, which leads us to agenda item 9. This is the Malden District Vehicle Parking Standard Supplementary Planning Document. It has been to public consultation. We are endorsing, the recommendation is to endorse pages 207 to 228 and recommendation to adopt for council 229 to 299. Mr. Dodson.
Mr. Butt will take this.
Thank you,
Chairman.
Mr. Butt.
Thank you, Chairman. As the Chairman has indicated, this has been subject to public consultation, which was carried out in June and July. This is the first of 3 items that we're reporting to this committee, which have also been subject to consultation. And this is a report back on setting out the responses that we received and our response to those responses and how that has changed the final draft of the document, with the recommendation to Council that the SPD be adopted. In terms of the consultation exercise, we consulted with over 1,100 individuals and organisations, and we received 14 responses, which totaled a total of 40 comments. The main issues really relate to some of the technical analysis, which we've changed, some of the evidence base, some clarification was required on that. There was a lot of support for the council moving from maximum standards to minimum standards, because that gives everyone greater flexibility and reduces on-street parking. There's been no changes as a result of the consultation to the actual standards themselves. There are a couple of instances where we have different standards to those that applied elsewhere in Essex, and they have been raised, but we're not proposing to change our standards to bring those particular ones in line with Essex, because we feel there's an opportunity here to maximise off-street parking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Councillors, any contributions? I would point out that Mr. B. Hollis, who was consulted, has written back to say, it seems you have thought of all the issues that concern me. Very smart to think of future-proofing with ducting for new developments to take new style of chargers into account. Two recommendations. Do you want to take them as one? Agree them?
Agree.
Thank you. We're now on to agenda item 10, which is the Maldon District Skills Strategy, which is a key corporate action. So it is of interest to us, almost more than some of the others that have gone before. Mr. Burrows, would you like to introduce it?
Thank you, Councillor. The Maldon District Skills Strategy is a new document, the first one that Maldon District Council has put together. We have put forward this document to a number of our partners, Essex Employment and Skills Board, the South East Local Enterprise Partnership, the Haven Gateway, and a number of others have commented and provided input on this document. However, we feel that it would be good to have this document available for public consultation, as with the SPDs that you've heard of previously, in order for other partners and the general public to be able to provide comment and make sure that we haven't missed anything important. The document has been drafted using input from a number of sources, such as these we've spoken about. It concentrates on two key areas, one looking at the point of view of people, how people can benefit from a skills strategy, what it can mean for their lives and for their opportunities, and from the point of view of business, how we can assist businesses to find the skilled operatives and employees that they require for their businesses to prosper in Maldon District. What we are asking the Council to do is to approve the document as annexed and to approve it for a public consultation period of 6 weeks.
Members. Councillor Savage.
I've got the following. I'll read them out. It's a long list. Page 378.
Could you use your microphone, please?
Oh.
Sorry. Well, it's page 37. There's 452 pages in this. It's page 378, that's Appendix C21. Page 388, Appendix C31. Page 392, Appendix C35. Page 399, Appendix C42. Page 403 is the same appendix, 404, 406, and 407. All the titles are on the wrong page or in the wrong place. However, I would like you to go to page 461, which is appendix 2.
Councillor Savage, which agenda item do you want?
Agenda item 11, I'm sure.
No.
I'm on page 461. This is
yeah.
4, and
He's on agenda item 11, Chairman.
Oh, we did that.
I think you're on the wrong agenda item. I wonder if there's good items
relieved.
Wait.
Yeah, it's all right.
The skills strategy.
Yeah.
Talking about. However.
Have you, yeah. Councillor Savage, have you any comments on pages 301 to 315?
No.
Right. Thank you. Any other comment?
Valid one, and we should agree the recommendation.
Thank you. I would just like to draw your attention to page 302, where Mr. Burrows has identified the two priorities, which is people and businesses, and the expected outcomes, which is going to be very important that we keep an eye on those, and it is conceivable they will be necessary to sort of be honed down into a series of tasks, but I will leave that to be recorded in the minutes for future comment. Are you happy to agree the recommendation?
Yes.
Thank you. Right. Councillor Savage, you will be relieved to know that we're now starting on agenda item 11. This is the Maldon District Affordable Housing and Viability SPD. We are presenting the findings of the comments received through public consultation, and the recommendations are both for this committee and council. Mr. Dodson.
I pass this one to Mr. Butt.
This is the second report on reporting back on the consultation process. The consultation for the Affordable Housing Viability SPD was undertaken in the spring in April and May 2018, and members may recall that at the last meeting of this committee, we mentioned that the finalisation of this document would actually be booked back until the MPPF had been finalised, which obviously was published in the summer. Again, we consulted with over 1,100 consultees, and we received 10 responses covering 48 comments. And the appendices within the report set out the responses we've received, the officers' comments and the consequential changes made to the SPD, plus the final draft version of the SPD. The key issues that were raised during the consultation is whether the council is introducing new policy in this SPD, because we make references to the MPPF on matters where our local plan is actually silent on. Now, the rules and statutory rules governing SPDs is that they should not introduce new policies that are not on matters that are not covered in the local plan. They should reflect the policies in the local plan. In this instance, we have made reference to the MPPF, which is national planning policy and a material consideration, but we are not suggesting in any way that it's new council policy. So we're just covering how the council would consider an application for something that's in the MPPF, but not in our local plan. And we've been quite clear on that, and we have taken advice on the council's solicitor to make sure that we are compliant in that regard. Other than that, most of the other changes are generally technical, and the responses we received were generally positive to what we've produced. The recommendation, as before, is to endorse the final draft of the SPD with a recommendation to council to adopt it.
Thank you, Mr. Butt. The interesting page is 321, which has the range of new affordable housing products, including starter homes, etc., and the fact that this would require a new LDP, but we can't do that immediately, which is why his explanation of it, bringing it in under the NPPF, is important. Councillor Fluker.
Chairman, I just wanted to refer members to the 2019 MPPF, which I'm sure they've read and studied. And the new MPPF says that if a development or an application is policy compliant, then the applicant doesn't need to bring forward a viability assessment. So I'd like to ask Mr. Butt, at what time can we request that if anything changes during the course of the application? In other words, if the developer finds that they don't have sufficient funds in their development, even though they've got their permission and they're not required to provide a viability assessment, legally, can we go back and ask for one?
Mr. Butler.
If a developer submits a planning application that is compliant in terms of affordable housing, normally there isn't a requirement for them to submit a viability appraisal because they are compliant. That doesn't stop us as a local planning authority requesting at the planning application stage the submission or site of a viability appraisal. And the reason, and that's particularly important, I think, in some of the larger schemes where they're multi-phased,
because it's those schemes where you may have a situation that later on in the process, at a later phase, they may come back to seek to renegotiate the affordable housing level. Now, in order for us to protect ourselves, we need to understand what the viability was when the application was first submitted. That's the benchmark against which any further viability appraisals will then be assessed. If we haven't had sight of that viability appraisal at the original application stage, that puts us at a disadvantage. And it's a matter that we will seek to negotiate, particularly on some of these larger schemes.
Chairman, although Mr. Butt hasn't responded, I do hope that he will be meeting with me at 11:30 on Monday morning on another issue. But my understanding of the MPPF is that if the planning application is policy compliant, there is no obligation on the applicant to provide a viability statement. But I'm happy to pick that up with Mr. Butt at a later date. Thank you. Hopefully at 11:30 on Monday.
Thank you. I'm sure that will work. Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. For the benefit of the tape, because I'll give this list to the clerk, pages 378, 388, 392, 399, 403, 404, 6 and 7 of the appendices, the titles are on the wrong page to the draft. It's a presentation thing.
Right, thank you for drawing that to our attention. Any other... Councillor Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regardless of all these policies, the subject of affordable housing is quite serious. The younger generation of this district cannot afford an affordable house because they're not affordable, they're market value. Regardless of all what's put in the paperwork here, they just cannot afford to buy them. A young person who earns $23,000 a year can get a £99,000 mortgage. Where is it going to get him? Nowhere. And even if the partner earns some money and you've got a child, they might earn half of that. And where is it going to get them? Nowhere. I mean, I have a situation where my own son is living at home because he can't afford to get out. And this is generally over the whole district.
I think you'll find it wider than the district.
Yeah, probably
and,
is.
When you come to the last item on the agenda, you will see the pressure on housing within the within the whole of Essex and the numbers that are planned to be built. Under this item, you have the increasing option of alternatives for ways of start homes and building to rent, etc. If you look at the top of 321, that list is expanding. And it requires partners, and it requires partners with money who will come in and assist in that process. We have had, I believe, some meetings in the past with a range of them, and I hope very much like you that that will continue.
Mr. Chairman, the other rumour I've heard is borough councils and councils outside this district want to come in and buy our affordable housing for their benefit. I don't know if there's any truth in it. There's a possibility that could happen if they've got the money. You can't stop them. Thank you.
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. I've had the pleasure of the company of several leaders today and chief executives when exactly this subject was mentioned. And it was interesting because one of the leaders and one of the chief executives told me that their policies say that affordable housing cannot go to anybody in their district unless they've lived in the district for 3 years. And I immediately cried foul, Chairman, and said, surely that's discriminatory and it's illegal. And they said, no, it's not. So I think we need to look at that because it might go some way to satisfying Councillor Helm and what he just said.
I'll take Councillor Boyce
I think Mr. Butt was going to...
Right. Mr. Butt, then.
Just to provide some clarification on that particular issue, obviously the SPD is about how we will negotiate affordable housing. That's the principal purpose of it. And in all Section 106 agreements, we ensure that the council has the nomination rights. So that's the key, so that it is us that decides who has the properties. There have been some instances where some local authorities have been buying up some premises elsewhere, but that's to meet their need. And the affordability issue, and as you know, it's been well documented that some of the London boroughs have been buying up properties in Stoke and rehousing people in Stoke because the properties there are affordable for the people they're trying to house. I'm not aware of any instances in this district.
Councillor Fluker. Sorry, Councillor Boyce, do you want?
I was just going to point out that the council is actually, I don't know when the report is coming forward, actually looking at redoing its allocation policy. It agreed earlier in the year in principle to look again at the allocation policy, and we will need, I think it will be in the next financial year, to make a financial bid, because it would become quite expensive to come out of the option of other local authorities nominating people into our district. But of course this doesn't stop any social housing provider from buying up affordable housing in our developments and letting them to whoever they want, except our 106 agreement should control that.
I don't know whether Mr. Dodson could confirm that.
Yes, I can confirm that allocations policy will be reviewed, exactly as you say, looking at the partner authorities that we currently are grouped with, in looking at those allocations and looking at whether we should be standalone or stay within that group, and that work will be done over the coming months.
Chairman, if you'd allow me to come back. I mean, bear in mind the activity of the London Borough, Newham, the London Borough, Tower Hamlets and the London Borough, Redbridge in Essex at the moment. Can I propose that this report and policy comes back to this committee at the earliest opportunity, and that Mr. Butt also considers the intelligence that's coming from places like Harlow, where other local authority and external local authorities to Essex are buying industrial buildings to convert them into flats. I can see Mr. Dodson's aware of this, and then putting social tenants into them. We really need to get these policies on the table very, very quickly, Chairman, for Council to agree, and for no other reason to protect the residents of Burnham, who I know are very concerned about what's going on at Burnham West.
Thank you, Councillor Fluker. Are we happy to agree the existing recommendations? Councillor Fluker, were you making an additional proposal?
Chairman, I was, or at least I'd like it noted, if that's easier for you, so that we can bring these policies forward at the earliest opportunity. I think Mr. Dodson's taken that on. If that is a proposal, I'm happy to make it.
If you're happy that it's noted, that's fine.
As long as it comes to the committee.
You're happy with that?
Next time.
Yes. Thank you. Agenda item 12. Page 413, Essex Coast Recreational Avoidance and Mitigation Strategy, Natural England's Response. Mr. Dodson.
Thank you, Chairman. This report isn't the standard RAMS report update that as members have received over the last few meetings, but relates specifically to the letter that was requested by this committee from Natural England at the last P&L committee meeting. The letter's now been received and it's presented in Appendix 1. Whilst it's a comprehensive response, it does raise a number of further questions. And in seeking to address those questions, it's recommended that the committee agrees to delegate responsibility to the chair, deputy chair and officers to meet with Natural England and clarify the extent and use of the data ahead of the next RAMS Members Forum, which will be held in October.
Members. Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't disagree with anything, but I think to make this a little more controllable, that the committee agreed to delegate responsibility to the Chairman and Vice Chairman of this committee, along with a representative of the committee. Should that representative not be the chair or vice chair for the future?
Councillor Fluker.
Chairman, if that being the case, I'd propose Councillor Savage, whatever it means.
I think you second that. He's referring to. Yeah.
This is a one-off meeting, so it we expect that the normal process will go, normal reporting will come back in line with the committee.
I don't like the words expect, should, may. I'd rather have it in writing, because RAMS is not something that's going to be just for a couple of months. It's going to be until they change the law, and who knows what will happen after next May. We don't want it to be changed. So I think, even though the representative is the vice chairman, I think it should actually say all three of them. Should there be meetings in the future? It's the future that I'm looking to, not just because this is a letter that has been responded to.
Councillor Fluker.
Chairman, just for clarity, I'm going to withdraw my proposal. But going to the recommendation, Chairman, I think it would be wise if we perhaps said that not the chair. This is paragraph number 2, line 2. I think it should be the chairman of the committee responsible for dealing with RAMS, because it may well be, Chairman, that this committee as it is now no longer exists in May. It will surely be called something else. I think the acronym is CD, which is Service Delivery, Chairman.
Yes, I understand that, but this recommendation really only reflects the meeting that is supposed to take place on October the 3rd. It is just for that one meeting.
I propose that we agree the recommendation and move on.
Could I make a few points first? Firstly, I would like to propose that the words "and use" are put in after extent, after the last but one line of the recommendation, because extent just covers the information. And the key thing is what use is made of it. I hope that is acceptable. Just the sheer complexity of the law relating to our coast is fairly astonishing, particularly the complications that have arisen from the change of one word, which is itemised on page 419, where the Conservation of Habitats and Species Regulations and the role of appropriate assessments of their ecological value used to read should be carried out and were changed to mean must be carried out. This has had a significant influence on a lot of our small local charities and businesses. I draw your attention to Harlow Sailing Club, who have an application in at the moment. Their appropriate assessments involving a habitat assessment costing £800 and a marine management organisation will bill for £5,000 for a 25-metre replacement of their launching ramp. And it is this sort of extra effect coming in from all the environmental regulations that I'm trying to guard against, so that we aren't, don't find all our local residents totally tied up in red tape and significant extra costs. So with that change, are you in mind to agree the recommendation?
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. Agenda item 13, which is the planning policy update. The nice thing about this is you can draw a line through 1.2, because we've covered all the points that we were going to, and it's really a question of looking at the future of what's happening outside the district. Mr. Butt.
Thank you. This is a regular report that we make to the committee, just to provide you with an overview of what's happening elsewhere in Essex and also nationally. The National Planning Policy Framework has been published in its final form. That now forms the government's planning policy. There will follow over the next few months, and probably even longer than that, a series of updates of the planning practice guidance as well. And there will be matters that will affect this district, in particular matters such as the annual housing statement, which is going to replace the five-year land supply in terms of the terminology, the housing delivery tests and various other matters that the government have now put in place. So we will be expecting those to come out over the next few months. In terms of the National Planning Policy Framework itself, I would like to draw your attention to paragraph 3.83, and in particular the three unbulleted paragraphs at the top of page 439. paragraph 212 of the MPPF, and I've referred to this earlier, says the policies in the framework are a material consideration dealing with applications from the day of its publication, and that plans, i.e. the local development plan in our instance, may also need to be revised to reflect policy changes which this replacement framework has made, and this should be progressed as quickly as possible, either through a partial revision or by preparing a new plan. That's not necessarily saying that we have to do either of those, but what we are doing in response to that is looking at our LDP, looking at the MPPF, comparing the two and doing a compliance analysis. And the second recommendation in the report is that we report back to this committee on the outcome of that. In terms of other matters, the report also contains an update on where the other Essex local plans are. And Chelmsford, I think I may actually now have a date. I don't have it with me, but I think they've now got a date for their public examination into their local plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butt. Members? No comment? Are you happy to agree the recommendations? Agenda item 14. We're halfway now. Essex Planning Officers Association. The purpose of this report is to look at their roles and activities, in particular the two appendices, one for unmet housing need, and the other is the Greater Essex Planning Protocol, which I'm sure you will be interested in. Who's leading on this? Mr. Budd.
Thank you, Chairman. Members may recall that this was referred to in the last planning policy update at the last meeting, and that the recommendation was a report be made to this committee. The report sets out what the Essex Planning Officers Association is, what its function is, the role that Maldon plays in that, and the representation that we have on that, on this body. But also it sets out a list. There is a list in the report of all the documents that the EPOA have produced. And the intention of the report and the recommendation is for the Council to consider whether or not we approve or support or endorse, as we've suggested, those documents. There's no requirement for local authorities within Essex to approve these. I think it just provides greater clarification and demonstrates the district's support for the work of the EPOA across Essex. A lot of the documents are now out of date, and they will be subject to periodic reviews. Some of the work of the documents are actually reflected in our own documents. So, for example, the Essex Design Guide, which was sponsored by the EPA, we have our own design guide, and we said our own design guide should take precedent. The viability protocol, which is nearing completion, we have our own viability protocol, which is in the Affordable Housing SPD. So, for clarity, we're not suggesting that we have two viability protocols that this council will work to. However, there are two pieces of work: the mechanism for the consideration of unmet housing need and the Greater Essex Planning Protocol, which we feel we can recommend to the council that the council supports and endorses. The unmet housing need protocol really does set out the obvious. That a local authority will consider its housing need, it will consider how it can accommodate all of that need within its local authority, and should it not be able to do so through its local plan, then at that point it then goes and has discussions with other local authorities. That's pretty much what the process is now, and so that process is really just setting that out. And the Greater Essex Planning Protocol, this is about how local authorities work with developers through the planning application process. The aim of this, and it has been developed with the Essex Developers Forum, and the aim of this is very much to encourage developers to work with local authorities in preparing their planning applications in a positive way. It doesn't guarantee them a planning permission at all, but it takes away some of the conflict that has been experienced across Essex, and indeed in this district as well, with some developers who take the view that they want to ride driver coach and horses through our policies and not work with us to deliver their development rather than actually trying to deliver what we're trying to achieve. Again, it's something that we do anyway. We do enter into planning performance agreements on sites. We do have a member involvement in the pre-application process, and generally that protocol we're recommending is something that the council supports and endorse. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butt. You might be interested in the statistics under the introduction on page 458. Up to 160,000 new homes being planned through the local plans in Greater Essex. I refer you back to the earlier statistic I mentioned at the beginning, when Maldon is 26,000, so that's 5.5 times Maldon's current housing, or 3 new Maldons, Maldon districts every 10 years. The other point worth drawing your attention is the actual text on effective communication, which says developers will engage early, openly and collaboratively with community and amenity groups and, where relevant, town and parish councils before and when planning applications are made. Through any subsequent planning application, developers will demonstrate how the responses to this engagement have been taken into account and have shaped the scheme. That is the level of the commitment from the developers, and I just draw it to your attention. Comments? Councillor Savage.
Right, Chairman. Page 461, Appendix 2, page 6. I am deeply concerned about the well-being of the tree in the photograph in fog as it's growing in the road. I don't think this is a good example of planning at all.
Thank you. We will pass that back. About any other comment? So the recommendation is to support and endorse this paper. Is that agreed? Thank you. That brings us to agenda item 15. Which is Maldon District Statement of Community Involvement, which is another set of initials for you, SCI. Mr. Butt.
This is the third document where we've been out for public consultation. We undertook the consultation in the summer in June and July. Again, we consulted consultees, over 1,100 of them, and we received 10 responses, of which we got 50 comments. The report sets out the response as the other reports, the response to the representation received, and there's a revised draft of the Statement of Community Involvement. A number of matters have been raised, some of which are not strictly the matter for the SCI, and we've set out where those are. For example, the availability of paper copies to some of the consultees, for example, is not a matter for the SCI. It's the council's, that's a council policy matter. But generally, the document has been supported, and where we've been able to make changes, then we've made those in response to the consultation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butt. I see continuing difficulties with community involvement because people are just so busy. Engaging with the hard to reach is getting to include almost everyone, and people will be interested in the difference between involvement, consultation, and actually being taken into account. But those are a few comments. Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. Page 534, Appendix B 32, designating a neighbourhood area. On the third line, the word before neighbourhood area appears to have a capital F inserted in the middle of the word the.
We'll correct that.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Any other comments on this report? Do you wish to agree the recommendations? Thank you. There is no other business. That is the last item on the agenda.
I dare say it with the tape on in case Councillor Channer hears me.
Yeah, she is communicating, so I'll tell her.
tell her that you finished at 7:45.
Oh dear. Would you like to prolong the meeting? I mean, I'm sure we can go back over something.
Well done, Chair. Well done.
Thank you. I declare the meeting closed.